Well, we're blessed today with Pastor Doug Rowe. He's a lead pastor at Dayton Vineyard Church. So if we could stand up and welcome him as he comes and shares with us this morning. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Good morning. Well, I was here a year ago. I usually come in like the spring, and this year in the spring, I was in the middle of a couple back surgeries. So, last year when I came, a couple of you said, Doug, I noticed you're limping, and I had been progressively limping for about 4 years. I had everybody under the sun pray for me. I mean, I've got Randy Clark and Bill Johnson and Danny Silk. Anybody that's anybody has seen my situation, and they've come alongside and they said, Doug, let me pray for you. And I believe for supernatural healing, and I didn't get healed. I hate it when that happens, don't you?
Yes.
In October, I was with my physician, and he's been my physician for a long time, and he said, you've got the classic gait pattern of a person with a spinal cord injury. And he sent me to a spinal cord spinal doctor who just does surgeries and fixes things like that, and they found the problem, and through two surgeries they fixed it, and now it's just getting my brain to connect with my muscles so everything works again. So my life has been a little bit like having a computer that you have a frayed cable to the monitor, and the signal doesn't quite get where it needs to go. So I want to thank you for allowing me to be here, and I want to thank you for Friday night was my birthday, I'm not saying that for anything other than to say thank you for the artwork that you gave me. It's going to be cherished, and it just spoke volumes. The prophetic words you guys spoke over me spoke volumes to my life where I'm at right now, and I'm grateful. But I'm glad to be here. So I want to spend a few minutes, and I'm going to talk a little bit about what I talked about on Friday night. And I'd like to give you an observation. And what I've noticed is, and I've been coming here for quite a while now, and honestly, you guys feel like family to me, but one of the things that I noticed is there's like almost a completely different group of people on Friday night versus Sunday morning. Like in my world, the Dayton Vineyard, we do three weekend services. We do a Saturday night, and we do a Sunday morning, and we do two Sunday mornings. And then from time to time, we do a Sunday night. But each service is a little different, and there's a different congregation at each service. But one of the things that being in church and being a developer of church over the years and studying church is sometimes there's this phrase that called familiarity breeds contempt, you know, and where we get so used to something, we don't really understand the uniqueness and the value and the gift it is from the Lord. And I believe your Friday nights here, they're legendary. I believe they're a gift from the Lord, not just for this church, but for the state of Ohio. People have come over the years from many different places to be here. And for this congregation, I would like to introduce you and invite you to Friday nights. And I wasn't paid to say that, you know. That's not like a paid commercial announcement for the sponsor here. It's just an observation, but I found that even in my church at times we get so used to what's going on and the rhythm of everything that we just kind of lose the wonder of it, and we don't really understand how unique, and even with the leadership of a church, sometimes we undervalue the leadership of the church because we just kind of get used to them. And so I just want to encourage you and challenge you to maybe just begin praying and saying, God, what are you saying to me about Friday night and about just setting some time aside? And in the Old Testament, Israel would set times aside just for festival, just for worship. So this morning, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit for a few minutes. And I want to talk to you specifically about one area of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's called the area of discernment. It says when the Spirit of truth comes, and we know that in the Bible, you know, Jesus in John 16 had sent us the Holy Spirit, said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And he called that Spirit the Spirit of truth. And the Bible says that the Spirit of truth is our counselor, our comforter, our guide, our advocate. Now, he doesn't bring condemnation. If you ever like feel condemned about something going on in your life, that's not from the Holy Spirit. It's not from the Lord. Often it's from if you grew up in a perfectionistic home, it could be that voice that's still speaking about perfection. You know, God wants us to be perfect, but frankly, he understands that our weaknesses and that we're not perfect at times. So the Holy Spirit doesn't bring condemnation, but he does bring conviction. So, for example, say you're reading your Bible, and like this morning I was reading my Bible, and it was in the book of Ezra. You know, Israel had been in captivity now 70 years. Nehemiah was sent to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem, and Ezra was sent to rebuild the temple. And so he's there rebuilding the temple, and all of a sudden a sinful situation is broken out. The people of Israel had begun to intermarry the people of their lands. And now God is not against racially intermarried couples. That's not what this verse is saying. But what he did do is he gave them a place of purity and holiness for him. They were to be a nation set apart for him. And he didn't want the people of the land of Israel to be distracted by the gods of their neighbors. And so he wanted to keep their hearts pure. And it says that in Ezra, it's when Ezra goes before the Lord with his situation, it says, he said, God, I'm ashamed. I am blushing. I'm blushing over our sin. And it's just not this latest sin thing. It's been the sin of this generation and this generation and this generation. And we've been corrupted by sin from the very beginning. And I just blush. And there's times in our lives where the Holy Spirit will come and bring conviction and we will blush. And that's a good place to be. So Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And he will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he's heard. And he will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to my Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he received from me. Now, in heaven, when we get to the end of our lives, there's not going to be like a throne for the Holy Spirit. And there's not going to be like a throne. You know, you're not going to have these three thrones and we're going to be worshiping. We're going to be worshiping God on his throne. But the Spirit of the Holy Spirit is right there with him. We talk about hearing from the Holy Spirit. John 10:10, Jesus said, my sheep hear and know my voice. Hebrews 1, it says, long ago God spoke to us many times in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he's spoken to us through his Son. So talk about the Holy Spirit, especially discernment. Have you ever walked into some place and it feels weird, odd, or something's off? You know, sometimes you can even walk into church and feels like, you know, something may be off a little bit, and then you begin talking to somebody, and they say, oh, yeah, we had a big fight this week in church, that our pastors and elders got mad at each other and, you know, went for it. And not this church and not my church. You know, it's, we talk about the presence of the Lord, and you know, that's one of the things we worship. We worship the Lord and we love his presence. Yes. We love to sing about it. We love to feel it. We love to dance in it. You know, we love to worship in it. And the presence of the Lord is one of those things we really can feel. And at the same time, we really can feel the presence of the enemy. We talk about God speaking to us, and I really believe he does. In fact, I believe that everything in the universe has a voice. You have a voice. When somebody says, I've lost my voice, Mike is like physically losing his voice a little bit this week, and that does happen. But sometimes people say, well, I lost my voice. And the truth is that we don't lose our voice. Often what we do is we give our voice away. And the voice not being our physical voice, but our spiritual voice. So discerning the spirits is where literally where we discern the difference between the presence of the Lord and the presence of the enemy. And maybe in a smaller way at times, it's not just the presence of the Lord and the enemy. It's also the presence of ourselves, what's going on. So if everything has a voice, for instance, first time I came here on a Friday night, that as I was up front getting ready to speak, I just sensed of all the people who'd come before me, the men and the women, there have been some just amazing people have been in this church, in this pulpit, sharing the words that God has given them for this church, for this house. And the voices have rung loud and clear. But when we talk about those words, you know, those words do not fall idle and die. What happens is they keep speaking. They just keep speaking. And so those words just continue and continue and continue. So I believe all of those voices in the past are still true. And it says the word of the Lord doesn't return void. And I still think that they'll come to pass. But everything has a voice. You know, I don't know if everything that's on the internet is true. And in fact, I think most things on the internet may not be true. But came into my news feed the other day that this lady hooked up some microphones to a sunflower plant and was playing it through her phone, and it was the singing of these sunflowers. Isn't that cool? Because I have an acre patch of ground in my backyard that's I plant in sunflowers just about every year. And I thought, isn't that cool? And but the truth is it says that all of creation groans. You know, all of creation speaks. And I believe, you know, the trees of the fields, they clap their hands. I believe that all the sounds of nature are worship sounds to the Lord. I believe the waves at the ocean, if you've ever like stood there and listened to the waves, close your eyes, or the waterfall, you know, or the stream, or the birds, or the flowers, or the trees, or the stars, or the universe. Never once in my life as a believer in Jesus have I ever been tempted or shifted to worship from worshiping God to worshiping the creation. Not once. But I think all of these things have a voice and are speaking to us. In fact, God created everything by the voice of his command. He said, let there be light. Let there be the plants. Let there be. And it was so. It happened. It happened by his voice. And so I think that God is still speaking. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul begins to outline to us the gifts of the Spirit. And 1 Corinthians 11 is about love. 1 Corinthians 12, he lists the different gifts of the Spirit. And then 1 Corinthians 13, again, he goes back to love. Many times in church, when we start studying the gifts, we kind of wear them at times like a merit badge. Look what I've got. I've got this gift and I've got that gift. And Paul says, it's not important the gift that you have. What is important is how you use that gift. And you're using it in a loving way. But the Bible teaches us about spiritual gifts. And the Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians 12 that we have these spiritual gifts. But there's also situational gifts. And Paul taught in Romans about motivational gifts. And then there are Ephesians 4, there are office gifts. And you take all those gifts together and you end up with a list of over 30 different gifts. But it says To one, he gives this gift. To another, he gives this thing called the discerning of spirits. And the discerning of a spirit is a supernatural impartation of information from the Holy Spirit to you. And it's information that you're going to need. And you have nothing tangible to base it on. And it's not only discerning the spirit of the situation, it may be even discerning the motivations of the people around you. And that's really, God wants to spare us so many different things that we unintentionally go through that we didn't need to go through if we would just listen. If we would take the time and say, God, what are you doing in this situation and what are you saying to me? If you walk into a place and it feels off, being able to ask the Lord and say, God, why does it feel off in here? Is that you? Is that the enemy? Is it me? Is it the fact that I'm just off today? Many times we will point a finger at another person and saying they're off when God's really saying, no, you're off. You know, and it's easier to judge other people than ourselves. But God wants to give us these gifts to help us. So being able to discern between, in fact, it says in Romans, for our spirit joins with his spirit to affirm that we are his children. That when we say, God, what are you doing here? And he begins to speak to our hearts and there's a confirmation. And sometimes it's just really him speaking to us. And then he wants to go from there. So how does God speak to us? We're all different. Some people who think a lot, they think their thoughts. An artist person will see pictures and draw pictures of their situation. A feeler will feel their situation. You know, God bless them. You know, but he speaks to us, whether it's even if you're an intellectual person and he speaks to your mind, he's not speaking to your intellect. He's speaking to that part of your heart of how you function. You know, and so many times we think, well, if he's speaking to my mind. No, God doesn't speak to our mind. He speaks to our hearts, whether it's a feeler or an intellectual person. But he also speaks to us through our emotions. You know, sometimes you come home and your family's emotional and you think, why are they emotional? Why don't they just get over this? And maybe it's the Lord guy speaking to your family and maybe you need to listen. I love what it says in Proverbs. It says in Proverbs that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of wisdom, cries out, oh, simple ones, come and listen to me. Over and over it says, listen, 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 listen. And we don't listen. And then he says, on the day of your calamity, you're going to call out to me. And because you wouldn't listen to me, I'm not going to listen to you. You know, and so if you have these things that keep speaking into your life, instead of saying there's something wrong with them or there's a problem here or why can't they just get over it, maybe just go back to the drawing board and sit alone with your maker and say, God, what are you saying to me in this? What are you trying to get my attention about? And sometimes I'll go back in the midst of that and I'll sit down with that person. I said, now, can we have a frank conversation? I really need to understand what it is you're saying. Face to face, mano to mano, let's work through this. I need to hear this. So God speaks to our spirit. He speaks to our emotions. Whether we're a feeler or a thinker, he speaks through that category. He speaks to our senses. Taste and touch and feel and smell and know. I don't know if you've ever been in a worship service where the presence of God filled the room and you smell this incense. I mean, I've been in services where that happens. Is that a little incense in the room? I'm smelling it. Who knows? You know, we talk about discerning of spirits. Jesus walked in discernment of spirits because he's there doing ministry and in the Gospel of Mark. And they let down this man into the room so he can be healed. And Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. And the Pharisees in their hearts started thinking, that's blasphemy. And it says that Jesus knew their thoughts. And he confronted their thoughts. Peter was in prison. They just executed James. Peter's in prison. He's the next up to be executed. The angel comes and pushes him on the side, says, get up, speaks to him. He hears, he feels, he sees. He thinks he's dreaming, but it says, then he comes to his senses and realized, wow, God was using his senses to get Peter's attention. And then Paul, and later on in the book of Acts, Paul's out doing ministry, and this slave girl starts following Paul around saying, Paul, you're like the best thing since sliced bread. You know, you're like the servant of the Most High God. You are amazingly anointed. Now, if you're a leader, you're thinking, all right, this is great press. Paul gets annoyed. And why did he get annoyed? Because that wasn't flattery from people, and it wasn't flattery from the Holy Spirit. It was a distraction assigned by the enemy to undo Paul's ministry. And what he did was he discerned the spirit behind what the woman was saying. So he turned to her and he said, stop it. She instantly gets delivered, and Paul gets in trouble because now she can't tell people's fortunes. As a leader, every situation that I walk into it with my spiritual eyes and ears and heart and ears on in my heart. I walk into being prepared to listen, to see, to understand. And so I walk into any and every situation, and I'm constantly, what's going on here? What is the Lord saying here? What do you want me to do here? How do you want me to respond to this situation? But, we talk about spiritual gifts. They're not just for in the church service. We're talking about every day of our lives. Like you walk into a place of business and things are just chaotic and not going well. I did this a while back, and it's obvious that something's really off in this business. And so I asked the clerk, I said, is everything okay today? And she looked at me and she said, no. She said, this happened and this happened and this happened. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. I said, could I pray for you? I could have just been an angry customer. But I realized there was something more going on to this than just them not being able to serve well. And so I asked the Lord. But, we talk about, like, if you're a teacher, or if you're in this place of leading other people at work, and like one day you go in and just everything's chaos, instead of assuming that the kids had too much sugar, or the people stayed up way too late and watched the latest football game, maybe just going back to the Lord and just saying, God, is everything okay? And then maybe just asking some simple questions to those people around you. I know we talk about prayer walking and like every neighborhood has a different feel to it, it's funny talking to a policeman a while back. I was asking, I said, which are the most difficult neighborhoods to go in? And he said, well, this neighborhood and this neighborhood and this neighborhood. And I said, why? And he said, well, it has this feel. And if anything really weird's going to happen, it's going to happen in these three neighborhoods. And that's discernment. He doesn't know he's walking in discernment, but there's something that is creating the weirdness in those neighborhoods. So like you take the area of Marion, and if there's something that's going to happen weird or really out there, and it keeps happening in the same area over and over again, what you do is you bring the gift of discernment and intercession together, and you start praying against that thing that's driving that weirdness. So we talk about parent, my four boys. They always thought like I had this sixth sense, like another set of eyes. But I do. There were times where I'd be driving somewhere and the Lord would speak to me about things that my boys were involved in. And he would actually, if you really want to understand a situation, you develop like 5 or 10 questions about this situation. So like I just sit down with my boys and so, hey, tell me what you did the other night. What do you mean, what we did the other night? I said, yeah, I don't know. I just, what happened? Nothing, Dad. Oh, really? Well, tell me about that nothing. Here's how discernment works in my life. You know, I have a dog, Charlie. He's a Brittany Spaniel. Had him a long time. He's a dog, a creature of habits. Like at 8 a.m. in the morning, he wants fed. He's like a clock. At 7:58, it really creates some problems for him when daylight saving time happens. But 7:58, he wants fed. At 4:58, he wants fed, and he lets me know it. But at 9 o'clock at night, he wants to go outside, and I've labeled it bark time. And bark time is he goes out, and he just stands out there and barks for, he would bark till the cows come home, I think. So eventually, I just get him in. I think, Charlie, come on in. It's time to get done with that. But he goes out there, and I don't know if he barks at raccoons or chipmunks or possums or skunks or what. The other day, he started barking, and it was a different bark. And it was a predator bark. And I walked over to let him out, and I looked outside, and I said, not so fast. There was a great big coyote standing out there in the middle of the day. I said, no, I'm not going to let you out. He had a completely different bark. And what I found by the Holy Spirit is I can just be going about my everyday business, but his voice is so different. How can you really tell when it's his voice? Well, like when we talk about if you're a bank teller, one of the ways that they teach you to understand and catch counterfeit money is they have you hold the real money a lot and touch it, because even the best counterfeit has a different feel. And so Charlie has the one bark for this time, but he has another bark when it's a predator. And we live our lives under our own voice many times, but all of a sudden his unique voice will break in and speak to us. And if we will listen to that voice, it will protect us from the predators of life. When you walk into a room, if something feels off, don't blame the people in the room. Don't blame the room. Maybe just say, God, what's going on here? When something resonates in my heart, it's a gift of discernment. And what do I mean by that? Like, you're watching a movie, even just a secular movie. I was watching, there's an older movie now. It's called The Book of Eli. Have you ever seen it? In the middle of that movie, it was an okay movie, but in the middle of the movie, when he sits down and prays with that girl over his food, she says, what are you doing? She actually she had no knowledge of prayer. And as that scene was being played out in the theater, all of a sudden that resonated in my heart. And it's like the Lord said, Doug, this is the generation of kids growing up right now. That they have lost any sense of semblance of prayer. And you can teach them how to pray. You can teach them what prayer is like. My neighbor came down the other day and we were chatting. My neighbor's like coming down and getting involved in my life. And so my neighbor came down and he had these problems, didn't know how to fix them. And he said, maybe you can help me. And I had never met him before. He's a doctor, very successful doctor. And we're sitting there talking. And I asked him, I said, would it be okay with you if I prayed for you about your problems? He looked at me and he said, well, I'm a Buddhist. I said, that's okay. I don't care. I mean, you know, could I pray for you? And I think he was thinking I was like going to have this prayer journal and go home and, you know, or go in my house and pray for him. And I said, it would be okay if I put my hand on your shoulder. His eyes got real big and he said, what do you mean? I said, well, I'm going to pray for you. He started crying. And he said, nobody has ever prayed for him in his whole life, ever. And I prayed for him. And he sat there and sobbed. And then he said, well, I understand you're a pastor. And I said, well, the truth of the matter is I'm a pastor because I'm a Christian. And I said, I know you said you're a Buddhist, and I get that, and it's a great philosophy. he started bringing me books on Buddhism, and I've read them, and it's not even a great philosophy. You take Buddha out of Buddhism, and you actually have nothing. And I shared with him the gospel. Just, you know, when you share the gospel, you don't have to, like, know all these rules and regulations, and it's this, and it's this, and this. You can actually share the gospel without even using a Bible. Because the gospel is the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. You know, the disciples were not martyred for what they believed, their doctrine. They were martyred for what they witnessed. And so we talk about sharing the gospel. It's our witness. I told Matthew, my neighbor, the doctor, I said, as a kid, I was emotionally bankrupt. I went to bed every night emotionally empty. And I said, somebody shared with me the love of Jesus. And I told that person that I didn't believe in Jesus. I didn't even think he was real. And then something inside of me said, you have nothing to lose. And so I said, Jesus, if you're real, show me. Come into my heart. And if you are real, forgive me for offending you with what I've done with my life. And I said to Matthew, that was the first night I went to bed emotionally full. And I said, it all starts with the person of Jesus. So when something resonates, it could be from a movie. It could be from a book. It could be from a sermon. It could be from a conversation you had with your kids, with your spouse, with your coworkers. It could be from a podcast. It could be when you're reading the Bible. There's times where we read the Bible and there will be something that will jump off the page. And when that does, then we just capture that moment and say, God, what are you doing with this? Next thing, that way God speaks to me, is when something annoys me. You know, but there's just sometimes we just get annoyed because we just, who we are is who we are. And there's other times where it's a holy annoyance. And we're getting annoyed because God doesn't want us to put up with a situation. Sometimes when I hear of a situation, there's something inside of me that just says, that's not right. And it's like a holy judgment. And at those times, God wants us to step up to the plate and do something about it, to right a wrong. There's times when something just wells up within me. When just, it's like a fountain that gushes forward. It's a sincerity thing. And all of a sudden, it happened in Dayton a while back last year. I was watching the news, and they were talking about the opioid epidemic. Montgomery County, Dayton, Ohio, was the epicenter of the opioid epidemic for the state of Ohio. At one point, we had so many people dead in Dayton, they were using trailers, refrigerated trailers, to stack the bodies up in. They couldn't even do the autopsies fast enough. And so in the midst of that, it was a Saturday afternoon, and I was getting ready for the Saturday night service, and I'm just watching the news, and they're talking about all these people that have died. And something inside me says, that's not right. And something said, I'm not going to put up with that anymore. And so that night at church, I threw out the idea. I said, I believe that this epidemic happening in our city in Dayton, because when the church is in a city, it says in the book of Acts, there's great joy in the city. And this is not great joy in Dayton, Ohio. That's Acts 8 if you need a verse for that. And so I prayed and I said, God, and I just asked the people that night, I said, let's pray together. Let's band together in prayer and let's put a stop to this. This is a weapon that's been formed against us. And you remember what the Bible says, no weapon formed against us will prosper. I said, this is a weapon that's been formed against the people of this city. From the moment we started praying, and we made it a conscious effort every day to pray for months. And we started praying, the graft was 81. Right now the graft is 15 people are dying per month. 81 to 15. You know, now, yeah, it was during the same time that our state government stepped up and other people stepped up and said, we got to do something about this. I was at a meeting at the governor's office, and they acknowledged, they said, the beginning of the change of this situation was when the Vineyard Church started praying. The first time that I meet someone, I don't know if you've ever met somebody, and it happened to me years ago. It happens every now and then. I'll meet somebody, and the Lord just spoke to my heart and said, these people are not what you think they are. And I didn't know what to do with that. I just said, well, that's nice. That's nice. I just file that away. And I did. And I'm in a meeting one day with these people, and they said, yeah, Doug, they said, it's our goal to put you on a leash and control you like a hired pastor. Now, if you know me at all, that would be like, that would not happen. See, the discerning of spirits will help you understand the motivation of those people wanting to step into your life. And if the Lord speaks that to you, what you need to do is just don't unfriend them. Don't be mean to them. But you go back to the Lord and you cry out to him and say, God, what do you want me to do with this? Help me to figure this out. Maybe you slow down the process of engagement. Maybe you're a lot more cautious. But do not run headlong into that situation. It will cost you layers of hide. For me, I sense the seasons of change. You know, we have winter, spring, summer, and fall. You know, winter is a time where everything's dead. Spring is a time of new life. Autumn is a time of harvest, and summer is a time of growing. And in your family and in your life, you need to really understand what season you're in. And you cooperate with that season. You build your life around that season. Like if it's a season of winter, if you're a farmer, you don't take the tractor out in the middle of the winter and try to plow the ground and plant seeds of corn. Why? Because the ground's frozen and the plow won't penetrate it, and you will break your equipment. And the seeds won't grow, and it will be a waste of time and energy. If you're in the middle of winter right now, and I honestly don't believe that a person's whole life should be from going from winter to winter to winter to winter to winter. That's not the Lord. If you're in a season of the winter of your life, it's because he's got another season for you to step into. And there's times in my life where if I feel like I've been in one season too long, like if you're in a season of harvest year after year after year, the success of that harvest will be intoxicating, and you will become so influenced with the success, you will not see what the Lord's wanting to do in your life. And it's the same with the winter. And if you've been in a season of winter year after year after year, I'm telling you, it's time to change seasons. It's time to begin crying out to the Lord where discernment of spirits and intercession work together. When you realize you've been in this season too long, you go back to the Lord and you begin crying out to him and say, God, this is not your heart for me. You know, we're living in Ohio. We have four seasons. You know, I want to remind you of that. Thank you. I have a rule of camping. And the rule of camping is this. I have a lot of rules about camping. But one of my rules is that if you pick the wrong campsite, only stay there for a night and then you change campsites. Don't just say, well, I've got my tent pitched and I've got the fire ring and I've got everything here. And if it's a bad site, it's a bad site. Don't ruin the camping trip by putting up with it. So like in our lives, if you've camped in this place of winter and you're thinking, nah, you know, I'm going to just stick this out and stay here and stay here. It's not God's heart that you just endure that campsite day after day and year after year. Just if it's a bad campsite, move. Do something to change the season. When I'm stuck in the season of winter, often I go back to the Lord and I say, God, why am I stuck? I really believe when we feel stuck, it's the enemy. God doesn't like just arbitrarily stick us into difficult situations. So Israel in the Old Testament, 2 Samuel 21, Israel is gone through this season of no rain, no food, a drought, difficulty. People are starving to death. And it went on 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. And David goes back to God and he says, God, why are we stuck? Why are we facing this famine? And the Lord spoke to him and says, because you guys broke the covenant that you had made with the Gibeonites. We talk about condemnation versus conviction. Condemnation is vague. Oh, well, you just did something wrong, but you never know what it is. If it's conviction, the Holy Spirit will not call you stupid. He will not belittle you. He will not be vague, and he will say, you did this. This is the area that I want you to work on. And so David says, God, what did we do wrong? And God says, David, you guys broke the covenant with the Gibeonites. They went back and fixed that. And guess what? The rain started. The crops started growing. The harvest came. They offered their sacrifices again. There's times when, talk about this discernment, where you just have a hunch. And I don't believe all of our hunches are from the Lord. In fact, when we talk about ministering in like the word of wisdom or the word of knowledge or the discerning of spirits, we have to make sure that our hearts are clean. Even as David said, who can ascend the hill of the Lord? That person with clean hands and a pure heart. And what I find is that if I've been hurt, the hurt produces criticalness towards a person. So if I've been hurt by an organization, a restaurant, a person, a friend, a coworker, a spouse, if I've been hurt and that hurt has turned into an offense and I'm harboring the bitterness of that, the unforgiveness of that, what happens is that taints my ability to hear and see. So everything that I hear and see is like tainted with this kind of judgment against them. It's subconscious. We don't even realize it. But the way that you get this gift working in your life at its best is you go to the Lord and say, God, I'm going to let these people that have hurt me, I'm going to let them off the hook. They may never come to you and ask for forgiveness. It doesn't matter whether they do or don't. You know, it's between them and their maker. It's not between you and them and their maker. Jesus said, if somebody offends you, you release them. And so I go and I just say, God, I want to hear correctly. In fact, if I start having ideas about people and thoughts and hunches, the first place that I go is, Lord, if they hurt me in some way, that I need to work on forgiveness. I start with me, not with them. And then I allow God to use me to understand the situation and what he's saying. My heart for you is that you will begin. I think this gift of discernment is underappreciated in the body of Christ. You know, you don't hear a lot of talk about it. You hear a lot about tongues or interpretation or prophecy or words of wisdom or knowledge. But I just want to encourage you to step into this gift and to begin walking in the wisdom of God in your everyday life. So as we close today, I'd like us just to stand. I know that you're going to be dismissed in a minute. I just want you to open your hands to the Lord. When Paul described the gifts of the Spirit, he talked about the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And that word manifestation there literally means the dancing hand of God. It's like God is in this room dancing with his hands, and he will put his hands from person to person to person to person as he wills. But I pray that the Holy Spirit would come and touch each person here. That whatever you're lacking would be imparted to you. Even as Paul said in Romans, I long to see you to impart to you what is lacking. Lord, we all need today what is lacking in our lives, and you know what that is. And I pray that the gifts of the Spirit would be released afresh in each life here. And I pray today that God would give you ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to perceive what the Spirit of God is saying to you in your life about your future, about the plans that you're making, about your careers, about colleges, about the changing of seasons. Even for some of you who are in difficult situations, I pray that God would show you the way out. I pray that He would show you those who need to move your campsite, that you've gone from winter to winter to winter. I pray now that He would show you the pathway out. And I pray that there would be a restoration of hope and joy for people in this room, for families. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, the way that you experience emotional fullness is through Him. And you just pray, Jesus, show me who you are. Forgive me for what I've done wrong. If you're real, I want to know you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Doug.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that.